and said, "Sir, is this where you live?" He was shocked. One nice little bungalow. The man got to the gate, stopped, came down from his car, opened his door by himself, drove in. And the barker was looking like, "I don't believe this." After more than 50 years of ministry, after affecting the world over, there was a time I heard he had two Hercules jets delivering aid to people in need in different parts of the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he was in the Philippines, he built a church that was sitting thousands of people, and there was a great revival while he was there. The man came back, an old Matunde Bakari, went to his house. He looked at the house. He couldn't believe it. 3 bedrooms. "Sir, is this where you live?" Said the man, said, "That is the problem with you young preachers." The man said, "What do I want?" "My wife and I, we use that room. Any guest like you we have, we use that. That one last one, I use it as my study. My children have left home. That is, forget what house I have to show you on the earth. Let's get to heaven first. Let's get there first." I wrote to my brother and I said, "Listen, this life is about one thing. To be able to hear it at the end. Well done, good and faithful servant." Are you getting my point? You've heard it said that life is not measured by duration but by donation. What is it that you have been able to give into the lives of other people? That's the gospel of Ruth I'm talking about. Ruth did not care. Listen, Christianity is foolishness to those who are observing it. Let me explain that again. Christianity is what? Foolishness to those who are observing. To you inside it, you know what you are doing. Are you getting my point? To you inside it, you know what you are doing. People say, "If you do this, do it, it will make you money." You say, "Yes, I didn't come to this life to make money. I left," remember what I said, faith. That's totally trusting in God. That is, I left my future in God's hands. What if you get there? Listen to this. Most faith preachers don't like what I'm about to say. What if you get there and there's no money there? Then no money is the will of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you something. In life, you will learn. You hear what I say? You go learn. You go by force, by force. That is not so life be. The only difference between the successful man and the failure spiritually is whether you learn it early or learn it late. There was one man, he got into hellfire. And he was born, he said, "If I had known on the earth." But he learned. He saw Lazarus. If only I had known. He found out. There's one man who died, one celebrated atheist, European writer. And the man passed a comment when I read the news online. He said, "Right now, he has found out that God really exists." Yes. I heard a comment of the life of Nietzsche. That's the Nietzsche, the atheistic philosopher. Before he died, quoted verbatim. And the man said, "I've done everything." He said, "I fought every law, every restraint in life. Gave myself to all kinds of pleasures that my mind could, imagine. All in a bid to avoid pain in life." He said, "But I only arrived at that pain by longer route." Before he died, he was in total misery. He was on drugs all the time. He was a certified maniac. You are getting the point I'm making. You will learn. That is not so life be. But the best way to learn is to learn from the instructions of the word of God. When it says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, learn it. One day you are going to finish all your running up and down, taking care of yourself. You will sit down and look back and say, "Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity." You will say it. They released the report of this woman's death. What's her name? Whitney Houston. She died of cocaine abuse and drowned in a bathtub. Did you hear what I said? You know why Michael Jackson died? He couldn't sleep. Did you hear what I said? Why did Bro Jackson die? He couldn't sleep. To sleep was impossible. If they give you Valium 20,
We'll use prayer and fasting to wake you up after 2 days. That couldn't even get the guy drowsy. One day somebody said, Michael Jackson is broke. A friend of mine, we spoke to each other. I said, if I gave you half of the money this bro earned selling Thriller alone, he said, I would never be broke. Of course, we knew it was a joke. You can't be broke. Are you getting my point? But the point is that he said, hey, listen, what is life about? Michael Jackson is broke. Michael Tyson earned over $300 million boxing. He's broke. Sorry, he's not broke. He's in debt. He's owing. Don't think they didn't know how to manage money. It's a spiritual matter. It's not about managing money. Do you get my point? What I'm saying is that, listen, better live your life for a reason. Are you getting my point? For a cause, for a purpose. That this is what I am doing with my life. It's not how much I'm making with my life. When I see the way Nigerians build houses, sometimes I laugh. They can't use it. You get my point? You are not renting it to anybody. Just a statement. I built that one. If you do that such things after God has blessed you plenty, I really wouldn't mind. It's when you spend all the times you are supposed to be blessing people, doing stuff like that. At the end of the day, you now sit down inside. All is vanity. I'll come see my friend. You don't be stupid. You should have read that in the Bible. Ruth. That's the person we are talking about. What happened to Ruth? Simple. Ruth looked and said, listen, let me tell you something about life again. You don't have to be a president to be a blessing to somebody. For your information, Ruth does not know this story unless God allows her to attend this Bible study today. I say, Ruth, they are talking about you. Go and hear it. Otherwise, Ruth doesn't know this story. You know, all Ruth knew was that as a young lady, maybe in her 20s, or at most early 30s, she came back home with her mother-in-law. And she was able to take care of her for some years until the mother-in-law said, oh girl, let's settle you now. And this is the next point I'm going to talk about. Once she committed her life to a good cause, she did not even know she was supposed to be gleaning in the field of a man who was a relative. She did not know that was Boaz's field. She just went to look for food. Literally, she went to beg for food so that she and her mother-in-law could eat. Are you following my point? What happened? Don't forget what I'm talking about. She did not know this, the detail, this detail we're analyzing. She didn't know it. What she just knew simply was that she came to take care of this woman and she managed to do that and then she was settled. She did not even realize really it was a reward for what she did. For her, it was like, okay, my mother-in-law now said this is the next step to take. Now, what am I talking about? It was not even planned. She just got back home, narrated the story, how nice Boaz was. He said, oh, Boaz, he's one of our relatives. No, read it. Look at verse 19 of that chapter 2 we're reading. Let's just start from verse 17, just to get it in context again. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied, you know, the lunch they gave her. Verse 19 says, her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. That is, she did not know where she was going ahead of time. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Let me stop there. Why did I read this? Just to emphasize that it was not planned. She just went out randomly. Then she met the man that was her destiny and did not even know it. Christians, stop doing things for what you are going to get, including giving spiritual offerings. So if you desire the grace of that on that man, you go and pour water into his hand. You will soon get disgrace from that man's hands. Because your selfishness is disturbing you. You don't realize it. No, Pentecostals. If only, listen, if you can just remove, just stop going to your church you go to right now, and go to a normal church for a while. You know what I say, a normal church, where they don't preach. Then after a month, come back and listen to yourself. You'll see the kind of joke that you play. But you're so into it, you don't realize it. One brother was talking once. I wanted to get up and go and beat him. He said, ah! He said, God, how come these kind of people have speed? Speed. Before they sow a seed, they have seen results. Ah! He said, God, I want to connect with their speed. And the Holy Spirit now said to him, have you ever sown into the man's life? So he overtook the man on the man's way to the airport to go and give to the man. Christian sorcery. So I want to tap into the man's speed. Oh, may you not know the man's speed. If you know his speed, you don't want it. He will tell you the night he went without food. He said, but give me my offering back. I don't want that kind of speed. I said to you on Tuesday, we've been talking in the book of Hebrews, that your life is heading somewhere. That a time will actually come, literally, that you'll be a man of speed. You can't sow a seed to get into that place. You walk through your own process. That's the point I'm trying to make to you. Very important for you to understand it. You walk through what? Your own process. Christians, let me give to that. Listen, the person that will bless you back, you don't know who it is. That's what I'm going to explain. Don't ever do things for what you are going to get. Let me say simply and finish it there. If you want the anointing on Pastor Banky, in quote, I don't know what you're looking for, but let us assume something like that is in your mind. Don't come and give me offering, no, because you won't get it. Your offering I will collect, amen? I will spend, amen? And I will enjoy it, amen? That anointing you ain't getting. It's a matter of fact. That what I'm telling you is a matter of what? Fact. By the way, if you want somebody's spirit to transfer into you, go and read it. Number one, you cannot listen to me. Except you have my calling, my gift, the same, we are going to play place in life, you don't need my anointing. Do you understand my point? It's my own. I mean, do you understand my point? You don't need it. You have your own. It's packaged waiting for you. It can look like mine, but it's yours. It's not my own that came upon you. Otherwise, I will have to die first. And I'm not going to die now just because you want to enter into ministry. Yes. It's like all of Elijah. You saw what happened. I'm not going in any cloud of any chariot yet. And in case you want to wait for me, no problem. Both of us will be old together by the time you start ministry. You don't want that. But for your information, there's plenty to go around. Amen? There's plenty to go around. What you need, you can learn from people. That's a matter of fact. You can learn from people. You can learn from people. And you should. If somebody has a gift that looks like yours, learn from him. But I'm going to say, if you go and read that message, go and listen to that message, getting the spirits of men, I discussed it there. That's how it gets into you. It's through words. Through giving attention to their teachings. That's it. What am I saying all of these things? Who blessed Ruth? Boaz. Into whose life did she sow? Naomi. I said to you, these are Christians sow. Solomon taught us very easily like that. Sow your seed in the morning, and at night, don't get tired of sowing. He said, you don't know which one will prosper. It's not one of the things that God has given you to worry about which seed prospered. You know, I don't like testimonies like, once when I gave that money, I spoke to it. I said, this money you will go forth and go and bring me a husband. And then I just saw the guy being dragged by the belts by my money. What those lie testimonies? I don't like it. You can't like this, like Pastor Chris said, you can testify, you can testify. Most of those things are testifying. That is not Christianity. That is not what? Christianity. It's not. Let's go over it again. How do you receive from God? You ask. You have not because you ask not. When you do ask, you still don't have because you did not mind your spirit. You were asking with wrong motives. Living Bible says, mind your passions. You were asking with the wrong things in mind. Therefore, though you asked, you did not get. Jesus said, ask. Let me put the words of James. And ask properly. And you will receive. And your joy will be full. I always like to qualify it. What about the giving side? Listen, Christianity is a giving life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
We're always giving. We don't give to bribe. We don't give to get. We don't give to prepare to pray. Say, sweetheart, have you prayed about that house we're about to buy? No. Ah, okay. Let's pray tomorrow. No, we can't pray tomorrow now. You know tomorrow is Sunday. So let's sow the seed tomorrow and pray on Monday. Because they said, nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. Again, that is not the word of God. You know what the word of God is? Who has given to him that he might demand back? That's the word of God. So you cannot pray unless you have seed in the ground. Who said so? To who? On what occasion? Is it he that freely gave us his son? Will it not with him freely give us all things? What decides whether we get from God is whether we ask in faith. As for giving, giving is part of a Christian life. I don't give to prime God so he can give me back. No. I give him because I know that he's a good God and he has blessed me. Every time I give, it's a sign of my faith. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I can give what I saved for tomorrow. Why? The real savings is in heaven. Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and make purses for yourself in heaven. Eternal purses. He said, places where moths cannot, in a place where moths cannot destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. He said, keep your money there. How do you keep your money there? He said, give. Be liberal. It's a sign of faith. A man of great faith is a great giver. Not because he's trying to bribe anybody, but because he's not tied to it. After all, what is money? It's a tool. He said, he needs the money to buy favor. No, he said, no. If I have favor with God, I will have with men. Are you getting my point? He said, so you will have favor with God and with man. The boy increased. He was growing, increasing in favor with God and with man. That's the way it works. We need to buy security for our tomorrow. Of course not. We don't need it as Christians. The people of the world, they do. For us, we know all flesh is grass. You invested in Greece, you have to take a loss the other day. 40% markdown of what Greece is owing you. All flesh is what? Grass. There's no place you can hide money and be sure. Nowhere. For that reason, we are not hiding it. So if we have something that is beyond what we need currently, we don't feel any big deal about letting it go. It's a sign of our faith. Like I wrote in the book, so who will pay for this? I said the book is about responsibility. That's Christian responsibility. For the preaching of the gospel, if you really believe that the gospel should be preached, we will know by how you are involved in the preaching of it. Do you get what I'm not explaining? That's how it is with Christians and money. Let me not leave my story of Ruth. So you see Ruth, it was not the person into whose life she sowed that she reaped from. She sowed into the life of Naomi. She reaped out of the life of whom? Boaz. Like I said, that's the next thing I'm going into. I will soon close because our time for today is almost up. Then we'll continue next time. Her life was not, she did not plan her life. Neither did Naomi plan it until God opened the door. Let me say something to you. God is alive. Is that her name, man? I know you know that. But the one I want to tell you is that every day he checks how you are doing and calls the angels and says, this will happen to him next. Let him learn this. Let her go here. What am I saying? Your future is being planned. It's not an accident. That's where I'm going. The only reason why we don't experience God's plan is called unbelief. And that's why the Bible says that he gave some as apostles, everything, and pastors and teachers, so that we can build the church of God up, so that people will sit in the center of faith, so that the destiny of God for their lives can be released. Are you following what I'm saying? Your life is being planned. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, when I sit at home sometimes, and I think about my wife, I pray for her. I'm serious. Just pray. And one thing I know for sure is that any prayer I pray like that, any good thing I desire for her and I pray, you see, there are not many things you know in life. How many places have you been to? Let's assume you've been to all countries in the world. You've been to China. How many places did you go in China? Even when you went to Beijing, how many places inside that place did you enter? You get what I'm saying? Yet, from a particular place, God is already orchestrating your destiny. What am I saying? One day you will stumble into it and you will discover it. So I know whatever prayer I pray, I know God is arranging it. I can't think enough. Oh, please, I hope you get what I'm saying. I cannot think enough to be sure of how it will come. I can't dictate it to God. I just give him an idea of the kind of thing I want. People say, with God, be very, very specific. It will have been okay if you had the capacity. What do you know? You can only pray according to what you have seen. Yes. You can only pray according to what you have seen. And what God wants to do in your life, maybe nobody has ever seen it. You inclusive. So how do you pray about what you have never seen? I was talking with a man once, talking about this ministry when we started out. He said, you started in the church? I said, no. And he said, that means a house fellowship. I said, no. He said, that's a church. I said, no. I said, he says it must be a house fellowship. I said, oh, guys, it's not none of the above. He laughed. He said, it's not a church or a house fellowship. What does that mean? He only knows churches and house fellowships. Kenegi said something. That when God said, I did not call you to pastor to begin with, he packed his load without asking any further question and went into what he called an evangelistic ministry, going around making noise. 2 years, poverty was his portion. Suffering, that was his portion. He needed people to be inviting him, so he would go there and make a lot of noise for them. And the Lord just kept on the go, boy, just settle down and start teaching now. Start ministry like this. For 2 years, he did not. He didn't understand. Because all he knew that you were either a pastor or what they called an evangelist. The ministry he ended up operating, he did not know things like that existed. That is the problem I have. People say, you must be specific. Boaz did not know there was one man called Ruth. Sorry. Ruth did not know. There was one man called Boaz. She just followed Naomi into Israel and settled with Naomi. And God arranged and told Boaz, you know, when the Bible says that God commanded a widow to feed Elijah, it is possible God told the widow. Widow. Prophet is coming. Feed him. It's possible, but should I tell you the truth? It is not likely. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. It's not like, attention, all ravens, the Lord is coming. Ravens, yes, sir. Prophet is coming. You shall deliver to him meat, and he will drink water from the brook. Do you understand? Yes, sir. Nothing like that, though. When the Lord just spoke, are you getting my point? Without hearing directly, the ravens began to arrange themselves. I don't know whether you get my point. The people that God commanded to bless you, you didn't whisper in their ears. They just woke up, suddenly favor towards you will just arise from inside them. They will suddenly have a need, and God will send you to go and meet it. And they won't realize it's after the commandment of God that they are obeying. What am I saying? God commanded Boaz to accept Ruth. He didn't have to discuss with Boaz. Before Naomi left Moab, the commandment into the life of Boaz had been issued. The other relative that stood in between Boaz and Naomi, you read the rest of the story, because when the approach was made to Boaz. All right? Boaz said, listen, there's a relative that's closer to you folks than I am. You know, God has said, I will harden his heart. He will not accept to do this thing. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. He said, buy the land. He said, I will buy. As you are buying, you take the widow. My money tied down for some businesses right now. I want to buy again. Do you get the point I'm going to make? What am I saying? All of these things. Ruth's life was planned by God. Boaz was under commandment from God to take Ruth in. Listen, to the person who abandons his or her life to God totally, the life is planned. Are you getting my point? I said your life is what? Planned. No, I said there are three things from the life of Ruth we are seeing. Number one, faith that works by love. I described in that book, great faith can be yours. Great faith can be anybody's if they will do what is proper. It is not by praying, give me great faith, give me great faith, give me great faith. Prayer has its role, but that's not how great faith comes, just like that. The people that they say, great is thy faith. Go and read the two of them that Jesus talked about. When he said, great is thy faith. One was a centurion. The other was a Syrophoenician woman. Both of them were not Jews. And both of them, please listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Both of them were praying for somebody else. One was praying for her daughter. The other was praying for his servant. Those were the two people that Jesus said, your faith is great. Listen, this life, may God give you a problem to solve. Amen. You know, some people, you know, I told you before. Any man wants to marry a woman, the woman starts interviewing him. How many of you are in your family? Are you a firstborn? Do you have responsibilities? Can you believe women are funny? They want to marry irresponsible men. Can you believe that? And tomorrow they start complaining that the man is irresponsible. Yet they interviewed a man to be sure he does not have responsibilities. You see, parents, your son wants to marry. The girl is a firstborn and she has five younger ones. Only one is in university. Three are three in secondary school. This young family is going to have a lot of work to do. My son, I don't think you should marry her. She has too many responsibilities. Let me quickly tell you, if you want to talk to you like that, tell him, sir, daddy, may you live long. Pastor Banky said it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You live longer like that, it's a blessing. To wake up in the morning and you have to arrange your salary for somebody else's school fees, it's a blessing. Hey, you don't know that. If you would do it without grumbling, I'm prophesying to you, you will be so blessed you won't know what to do with money. Amen. You know what happened? Sometimes I say that, look at all this money. There was a time I needed it. Listen, that time you needed it is the reason why you have plenty now. I don't know whether I hear what I said. People will sit down and be skimming blessing out of their lives. No. He's a firstborn. Say, Angela, what happened? He's a nice guy. The guy is very nice, but man, responsibility boku. And since he's supposed to worship me and serve me alone, because I'm this idol called wife, the first wife that the world will ever see. I'm an idol. Supposed to be giving early morning sacrifices to me. He won't be able to afford it. Let him go away with his responsibilities. Listen, great faith. That's what I'm talking about. Only comes to people that have responsibilities. The centurion was well fed. He didn't have any faith until his servant fell sick. The Syrophoenician woman would not have been bothering Jesus Christ except that her daughter became sick. That was what gave their faith boost. Listen, let me quickly tell you, I was talking about marriage. Person who they check, who will get responsible, who will not get. Opportunities to pray faith down is what you are missing. You were sent to go and bless somebody. You should have pity on people. Ah, oh God. I said, I'm going to talk to you about the prayer of compassion. You have pity on people. This is how serious people think. Man, can you believe that girl? And she's so nice. She's so nice. How can only she be carrying this load? I should help her. That's proper thinking. I knew one girl in this town. My wife, remember, I can't remember her name now. She died. And one small stupid accident. You know what they call it, stupid accident? A bike parked. A girl is sitting on the bike and wants to come down. And a truck is passing. And it takes her handbag and pulls the handbag small. And she falls down, hits her head on the road and dies. That's what happened to that young woman. Very stupid accident. Why am I talking about her? I never saw a young girl carry that amount of load she carried. And after she died, I told myself she died to enter into rest. Her father put all the burden on her. Her mother put all the burden on her. When I broke the news to the brother, now, I mentioned father and mother. When I broke the news to the brother, he nodded like this. And said, just yesterday, my brother said he sent for 30,000 naira. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear me. I told a boy, I had the unfortunate duty of letting him know the sister had died. And I shook his head. The first statement that came from his mouth is, what will my brother do now that needs money? Know what I'm trying to say? If a responsible man had married that girl, she would have lived longer. That's where I'm going. Instead of looking like, she has too much to work. If you say, why should this girl die early? Let me take some load off her. This selfish life we are living, just for me and myself and I have to build a house and do this one. Listen, is the reason why as an old man you still be struggling? Better tap into faith now. Are you getting my point? Make sure your life counts in somebody's life. I tell people that. In fact, one of my friends came the other day. He said he has thought about it. That if he dies now, his company will employ somebody else. If he does this, his company. He said he thought about it that these people that pay me all this money, I'm not important to them. He said there are things that if I don't do, nobody will do. Do you know? I don't know how anointed my wife is. But if you hear Pastor Banky is dead, this ministry will close. I don't know what I heard. What I said. They will close the door. You know why? You came to hear me teach. That is why, listen, no matter what if you hear Pastor Banky dies in UNTH, they will employ another pathologist. Gone are the days when they were scarce. The college will call a service, service. And they will have Pentecostal service for me. My wife and children in front. And people will come and say, Madam, it is well, it is well, it is well. As they go home, they go, it is well, to their pounded yam. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, as they are saying it is well, they are going back home to their businesses. And that's the end of it. They employ somebody. They say, this department, Dr. Lishina was so industrious. Things he didn't say when I was alive, they start saying it. But having said it, they employ somebody to replace him. Sharp, sharp, bam. And that chapter. But there are places where, if I not did, nothing they flow. For this place, there are books I must write. If I don't write it, those books will never be written. You know what I'm going to explain? That's why I make sure I put effort into some things. Listen, it is just the right thing to do. To make sure I put the necessary effort into the place where I'm important. That brother told me. He said, I thought about it. I decided to return to those things I was doing. Listen to this. Which does not make me any dime. Are you getting my point? Which consumes my money? He said, but now I've started them again. Because that is where I found out that my life is important. As for the young men in Moab, they can find other wives to marry. But Naomi was not going to get another daughter-in-law. Ruth realized it and stuck with Naomi. Do you get what I'm saying? And because of that, he said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Because of what she did, God settled her with Moab, with Boaz. Do you get my point? Listen, that's how great faith comes into people's lives. I'm trying to emphasize that. Listen, once you put your head to it, suddenly ideas will start coming to you. That's what faith is. Let me tell you the truth. If you have this rutic spirit, you know, I just invented that expression. If you have this spirit, the type that Ruth had, listen, those blessings that God has in heaven for you, they will come down. Did you hear what I said? We say, must I have it for them to come down? Yes, because they are tied to purpose. God does not waste resources. Many young men, you know the reason why they will struggle for all their lives? They will be praying prayer of faith. The faith will not be there. Why? Because when it was time to take steps, it was marriage time. God sent them Ruth. Or let me be like, he sent Naomi. Married Naomi for me. Now they look Naomi. This girl is not befitting. Do you get my point? He took get responsibility. They finished to push Naomi aside. You understand what I'm saying? And then ran after their own. They finally found the wife. But the blessing, oh God, the blessedness God wanted to point to them, it went with that Naomi. Because God's, look, difficulties in life, they can be the avenues through which God will pour breakthrough into your life. That's why I need to explain this thing and explain it properly. Christians must liberate themselves from being worldly in their thinking. They must be service-oriented. He said, Timothy served with me, Paul said, in the course of this gospel, as his son serves his father. Christians are supposed to serve their father. Are you getting my point? Yes, we are supposed to serve the Lord. We're not just children of God. We're servants. We are servants. There are two kinds of sons. There are prodigal sons, and there are serving sons. All these days I have served you, neither did I ever transgress any of your commandments. That was what the prodigal son's brother said. He was a serving son. And this is what the spirit of Ruth is. To have a serving spirit about life. Not the spirit of, let me get, it is me alone. No, the extraordinary spirit that wants to pour itself out into the lives of other people. You know what Paul said? Paul said that even though my life is being poured out like a drink offering, he said, I'm excited, I'm glad, because I realize it is on the service of your faith. Do you get my point? Yes, you could have done this and made more money. You are doing this, you are not making as much money. Say, yes, I stayed in this village. I'm teaching these children. At least I'm sure from here, great men will come. Great women will come out. They will go to university. They will go to school and become something. Until I came there as a youth copper, there was no hope for them. My life becomes a hope. Are you getting my point? Created for these young people. That's how Christians think. We don't think in terms of what we are going to get. But listen to me. If it is to get, Jesus said, you will get 100-fold in this life. For every job you lose because of this spirit of Ruth, there are 100 greater jobs you will be able to give out eventually. That's how God works. I hope you learned what I said today. Let's bow down our head and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.